This is Doug Miller. How close can you get to salvation without being saved? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time with the Word of God in hand to speak into this microphone with the sure and certain knowledge that the Word of God, quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, will never return to God void or empty. It will always accomplish that which he pleases. It will always prosper in the thing whereto he sends it. And there's a great comfort in that for us. That means that all we have to do is put it out there and be faithful in putting it out as clearly and as plainly and as honestly and as directly as we can, knowing full well that God is the one who is responsible for seeing to it that it accomplishes what he pleases, and he will do that. We are in the sixth chapter of Hebrews, so bring along your Bibles and open up to Hebrews 6, verse 3. Call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of getting this word out there. And we are very dependent on our listeners and others who are behind us and pray for us. And we just covet your prayers and ask you to be sure and tell others about us. And, of course, we would love to hear from you. Always nice to know that our listeners are out there, where you are, that you're listening. Any questions that you have that we might answer, we'd be happy to do it or help you in any other way that we can. Our mailing address is Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, just keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. All right. We ended last week with verse 3 of chapter 6 of Hebrews, and this is a biggie. This one is important. I said at the outset, and I'll continue to say from time to time as we go through this marvelous book, that this book is full of, time bombs? That may not be the right word, but that's the one that comes immediately to mind. If you enter this book, you had better enter it with some knowledge about what's going on, or you are apt to make some serious, serious mistakes. Now, you've heard me say this before, but it's worth saying again. This book is not written to Jewish Christians. There is no place in this book that you can make such a case. What it is written to, or who it is written to, rather, are Jews, some of whom are saved, many of whom are not, but Jews that in one way or another have expressed some interest in the proposition that Jesus is the Christ. They may have hung around together in the in whatever they possessed at that time for church meetings. They may have even been shown some enthusiasm about this. But that all of them are saved, they clearly are not. And we saw this in chapter 4 when our writer compared them to the mixed multitude that came out of Egypt with Moses, all of whom, with the exception of two, so far as I can tell, Joshua and Caleb, died in the wilderness because of unbelief. Now, what we have here is a very clear warning to all of us. And I want you to think about the situation that exists in our churches today and in the churches where you are. There is not a church out there, there is not a group of believers out there who cannot relate to what's going on here. because you cast a dragnet out there, and when you haul it in, you're apt to haul in anything in that dragnet. And any fisherman can tell you this, you know, you go through those nets and toss back what you don't want, and you keep what you do, but you'll drag a lot of things in that are strange. Now, that's what's happened here, and that's what's happening in Christendom right now, and always has been happening. Anyone out there, the way things are constituted today and have been for some time, anyone can come into a church building and can sit there. Anyone can join a church. I've had people say to me, well, I mean, we want people in the church, don't we? I mean, they need to be in there. Yeah, they need to be in the building. Strictly speaking, only saved people are in the church, because the church is not a building. It is not an organization. It is an organism, the living body of Christ, and it is composed only of those who are born again and saved. But the devil has his counterfeits everywhere. And people are self-deceived, and they are deceived by the devil. And there are any number of people out there who think that they're saved, or maybe they know they're not, but they're giving a good imitation of it. There are all kinds of reasons for joining the organization, getting your name on a church roll, you know, business reasons and personal reasons and reasons of popularity and reasons of community, and on and on and on it goes. But joining a church, the organization, and being baptized and going down front and crying and shaking the preacher's hand and receiving communion and on the list goes, none of that saves you. You can do all of that and be as lost as the day you were born. And many of you have heard me talk on this program about my own experience, how that, you know, I grew up in a church and was a member of a church, and but I wasn't saved. I had no idea what the gospel meant. And after the Lord saved me and changed my life, I could look back on what had gone before, and it was very evident to me that I wasn't saved. And yet, I sat there. I listened after a fashion. I would have said that I believed all of this. I could cite the Apostles' Creed for you very easily, and I said I believed it. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. But I wasn't saved. Some of you have heard me talk about a friend of mine who grew up in a very... Well, I'll tell you what it was. He grew up in a Baptist church, and he told me later on, after he was saved, that there was never a time that he could remember when he didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God, born of a virgin, who died for our sins. Well, that's kind of what my experience is. I don't remember a time when I wouldn't have said I believed that, but I want to tell you something. I was not saved, and neither was he, until events transpired to bring the gospel to us and open our eyes, and the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, brought us to his Son, and we were saved. Now, some of you out there listening to me right now had better pay very close attention to what I've said, because you know in your hearts exactly what I'm talking about. All right, now let's take a look at that, and this is the reason I've kind of taken some time to introduce this, because this verse that we are considering right now is frequently used. This is one of the darlings of all the falling from grace crowd, all of those who believe that you can be saved and lost and saved and lost. This is one they always trot out and throw at you. And the reason they do it, I am persuaded, is because they don't understand, apparently, just how close you can get to being saved and really not be saved at all. Now, the church I grew up in believed in falling from grace, taught it, believed it deeply. And I believed it until I got saved, and then I said, well, you know, come on. If it's grace that's saving me, if salvation is by grace through faith apart from works, what's that do to this whole idea? Well, let's read this now. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 3. It is impossible For those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, a lot of you out there are going to say, well, isn't it perfectly obvious that these people are saved? They repented, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, it is perfectly obvious that, first off, they were enlightened. They had received light. The Word of God brings in light. They tasted the gift. They got close, and the Word of God, and so on and so forth. But the fact is, they were not saved. They cannot have been saved, ever. And if you have a problem with that, if you say, well, I hear what you're saying, Miller, but to me, this is just another of your pretenses, because you've got a position that you're holding up there, once saved, always saved, and this verse doesn't agree with you, and so you're twisting it around to make it read what you say. Okay, if you think that, I want you to listen to how this verse ends, or how this passage ends. Look at verse 6. If they fall away, it is impossible, impossible, it says here, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Okay, if you who are listening to me wish to take this passage and say it proves falling away, if that's what you wish to do, then take the whole thing. And admit, I mean, some of you, you'll know people, and I'll bet you, even as I'm talking here, that certain people will come to the minds of everyone who's listening to me, people you know and have known, old so-and-so. Boy, he came down there with us, and he was with us for a while, and now he doesn't want to have anything to do with the gospel, and he's out there and living like the very devil, Well, we're still praying for him that he'll come back again and get saved again. Well, come on. What's this tell you? It's impossible if what you're saying is true. If he was saved and fell away, and if that's what this verse is saying, look at it again. It is impossible to ever renew them again if that's what it's saying. Now, some of you out there, and this is over on the other side, some of you out there are saying, well, there's old so-and-so. He was down here with us, and boy, he was living for the Lord and going on for the Lord, and now he's gone back to the taverns and the dance halls, and he's out there living like the very devil, and he doesn't want anything to do with the gospel, and in fact is hostile to it, and so on and so forth. But isn't it comforting to know that he is saved and we'll see him in heaven? Hey, come on. Let's get real here. We have no reason at all to say that he's saved and we'll see him in heaven. But if he is not saved now, it's not because he fell away and was lost and is lost having been saved. It's that he was never saved in the first place. He was only a good imitation, a clever counterfeit. And now the truth has come out. That's probably what we're dealing with here. And I have no authority whatever to say to anyone, particularly to that individual, well, I know that you're saved, once saved, always saved. Come on. When an individual gets saved, his life changes, and the Holy Spirit changes his life. And he is not going to fall away and get lost again, because the Lord will keep him. Now, can he sin? Yes. Can he get off into things he shouldn't be involved in? Yes. But we have God's word for it that he will always bring that individual back. And that is the simple truth of the matter. Now let's go on here into verse 7. The earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Now look at this. And I want, this is an excellent illustration of the very thing that we're talking about here and looking at. The earth receives rain from God, the good earth and the bad earth. Some of the earth that receives rain from God brings forth much fruit. Some of the earth that receives rain from God is bad earth and produces nothing. But it all receives rain from God. Now, the comparison here is with these very people that this writer to Hebrews is talking to. Some of these individuals are good earth and some of them are bad earth. Some of them have been saved and are bringing forth fruit. Some of them were never saved and are nigh unto being cursed. But they all received the rain. You know, he makes his rain to fall on both the good and bad and on the just and the unjust, as the Lord said back in the Sermon on the Mount. But not all produce fruit. The parable of the sower. Think of that one and look at what we have here. A sower went forth to sow of the seed that he threw out there. And he threw it out there over all his earth and the rain fell on it. But 75% of it produced nothing. Produced nothing. Now, don't come and waste my time telling me that, well, 75% of them, they were all saved, but 3/4 of them fell away and were lost again. That's not the sense of what the Lord is saying at all. The seed fell on bad earth in 75% of the cases. The rain fell on bad earth in the bulk of the cases. There is a small number that will be saved, and the rest are not saved. And that is precisely what we are talking about, and the ones he is talking to in chapter 6, verse 3, on down through verse 8. He is talking both to the just and the unjust, both to the saved and the lost. And look, I can't look at you and tell whether or not you're saved, neither can the writer to Hebrews. I can say what your behavior is, but I can't tell you that you're saved or lost. All I can tell you is this, that if you are bearing no fruit, if you are back living with the pigs, having come and hung around with the believers for a while, then there is something wrong with you. And chances are you were never saved to begin with. If you were saved, look out. God knows how to deal with his own, and he will deal with you. He can break you. And he can break you down and bring you back and cause you to repent. And the guy talking to you right now knows very well how that works. So you think about this. But now look at verse 9, and let's go on here. Our writer says, we are persuaded better things of you, things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Now what things accompany salvation? What accompanies salvation is those that go on. They came down. They heard the word, it fell in their hearts, it fell on good earth, it started bearing fruit. It started producing results. The life is changed. The individual is turned around. He or she goes on for God. That's what accompanies salvation. And to listen and to express interest is, and then to go back and start living like a pig again. Put yourself, if that's what you're doing, in the class of those who were enlightened, who tasted the heavenly gift, who sipped around the edges, and who tasted the word of God, and who, but they fell away. And they are not going to ever come back again. And that is the terrible, frightening truth that we have in this passage. It's impossible to renew them again. And you know there are a lot of people out there, and if I'm talking to you, and if this reaches you and touches you, I hope you will listen carefully. There are people out there right now who have been, as it were, inoculated against the gospel. The hardest, most difficult people to reach with the gospel and the truth of what our Lord is saying here are individuals who have grown up in the church. It's not the guy down in the gutter. It's not that individual who knows very well that he is lost and no good and needs a Savior. It's not the individual who's never really heard the gospel. You look back at the book of Acts and what Paul and the apostles went through. Notice how the Gentiles, when they first heard the gospel, they flocked to it. They were eager to come and take it in and be saved. The word was coming out to them for the first time. Who were the real opponents? What was the Jews? It was the Jews. They had grown up with the word of God in hand. They had had the gospel preached to them over and over again. And they had rejected it. Now, am I reaching anyone out there? Are any of you listening to me? I hope so. You had better. Because some of you grew up in churches, and you've heard the gospel. And if someone, you tune into a radio program like this, you listen to the gospel, and you say, oh, I know all of that. Yeah, you know it all. You really do. And you have, in effect, been inoculated against the gospel. And you are hard-hearted, and you are cold-hearted, and you're in a world of trouble because you are at the point of not being reachable at all. You're at the point of being in this class that we're talking about here in Hebrews 6, verse 3 through verse 8. This passage, impossible to renew them again. You had better pay close attention. But, as I say, our writer goes on and says, I'm persuaded better things of you, things that accompany salvation. For God, in verse 10, is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. What do we have here? This is a wonderful picture of saved people as we see them. Now look, and when I say we see them, this is important to note, because I can't see your heart. Only God can see your heart. If you're saved, God knows that you're saved. If you're lost, God knows that you're lost. But what I can do, and all I can do, and all the writer of the Hebrews could do, is look at the behavior that goes on by the person. This is the outward evidence that something has changed in the heart. Now, in closing, let me remind you of the story of Zacchaeus back in the 19th chapter of Luke. Remember Zacchaeus, the little man who climbed the tree, the sycamore tree, to see the Lord? The Lord said, come down, Zacchaeus, I must dine for you in your home today. What did Zacchaeus do? Well, he came down and received him gladly. And then in the course of the meal, Zacchaeus stood up and said, Lord, today I'm giving away half of my goods to feed the poor. And if I've defrauded any man, I'll repay him fourfold. And the Lord said, today salvation has come to this home. His works showed that he was saved. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.